If you've bought a new car in the past 10 or so years, you probably already know that you're driving a computer on wheels. Cars are now so advanced that highly specialised equipment is needed to maintain and fix them. So spanner-wielding grease monkeys at your local garage are rapidly being replaced by technicians who plug your car into diagnostic equipment and wait for the verdict. In some cases, that verdict comes all the way from Germany or Japan. These advances put authorised dealers and their workshops in pole position in the lucrative repairs market. The question is, do they have an unfair advantage? Are car manufacturers withholding information from other repairers and so shutting the door on their business? The Federal Treasury is looking into this very issue, and in a moment we'll hear an argument for information to be shared more widely. But first, meet Peter Bradley, who manages the Southeast Motor Company, an authorised Ford and Mitsubishi repairer and dealer in Narracourt in South Australia. Peter Bradley, welcome to The National Interest.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. Now, have you had to invest a lot in high-tech equipment to service new cars?
Yes, it's an ongoing expectation of the manufacturer. Without the equipment and the knowledge that they provide to us from the various call centres and at head office that we seek advice from, there was not a day goes by that we don't utilise equipment that is provided by our manufacturers.
And what sort of money are we talking about in terms of, I mean, obviously it's going to cost a lot more than a new set of ring sockets or spanners?
Yeah, 20 or 30 grand for a serious upgrade. The software that can be added to this, of course, is a whole lot less, but there'd be at least $50,000 in our workshop office at the moment.
And do you need a lot of training to run this equipment?
No, it's for the guys who are used to it hands-on, they pick up the new stuff fairly well. But it's not for every technician. Someone of my age would find it a little bit difficult, but the younger guys who have come through their school years basically working with computers pick it up reasonably well. But it is an integral part of servicing, maintaining, especially troubleshooting for a problem when a vehicle comes off the street that's passing through on its way from Adelaide to Melbourne and just doesn't work properly. The diagnostic gear is critical to that. If that doesn't totally solve the problem and we can't figure it out ourselves, then a call to our head office, whether it be in Melbourne or Adelaide, enlightens us further. So we have our own technicians plus the backup of the factory trained guys.
And this is part of a close relationship with the dealers, between you as a dealer and the motor companies you represent, Ford and Mitsubishi.
Yeah, very much so. When the manufacturers appoint a dealer, and it doesn't matter which brand we speak of here, the guys they seek, the people who invest in a dealership have put a fair bit at stake. They go through a fair bit of scrutiny to be appointed in the first place, and there is an expectation that employees will be trained to work on the equipment. So our full supporting staff are critical to a franchise being granted to anyone.
And how important are repairs and servicing to your business as opposed to, you know, selling cars?
It's become the most important part of the business. The new car sale is not always that profitable, and sometimes a vehicle can be sold at a loss. This is the way we look at it, especially in a small operation like ours. We treat the sale of a new car as the retention or the creation of a new customer. It is that process that then goes on to looking after that client as best we can. We may make a profit after reconditioning their trade-in if it becomes available to us. We may not. But the service department and the continued relationship to our customer is so important that we do hope to get them back again for a repeat purchase. On top of that, we also hope to see their family or friends. So if they have a good experience at a dealership, there's a very good chance that they will recommend and the business will slowly expand as a result of that.
So the ongoing relationship and the ongoing repairs and servicing are an important part of your business model. What would it mean for you if other mechanics were able to set up nearby and offer the same service in competition with you, service the same vehicles?
Yes, well, they already do to a degree. If they had total access to all the expertise that our manufacturers supply, or provide, I should say, that would have a negative effect for us. The ongoing relationship that begins with the manufacturer flows through to the dealership, and the sale I feel that should be controlled by the manufacturer.
So you think it's fair enough that that information is kept in-house and that relationship, this diagnostic information and the software and so on, is restricted rather than made freely available to other mechanics?
Very much so, because I think if they build, if they test, if they distribute a product and then are responsible for that, for the reliability and the warranty of that vehicle for an ongoing period, which is upwards of 3 years these days, if they're responsible for that, those repairs, should they become necessary, I would like to think that they should be allowed to say who fixes their vehicle, who works on their vehicles, because they don't want just anyone to work on it. They may even create a warranty issue that didn't exist.
Peter Bradley, thank you.
Pleasure.
Peter Bradley is the manager of Southeast Motor Company in Narracourt in South Australia. This is The National Interest on ABC Radio National. Listening into that conversation is Andrew McKellar. He's the Executive Director of the Australian Automobile Association. That's the peak body representing all of Australia's state and territory motoring clubs. Andrew McKellar, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you.
Now, you're also the former chief executive of the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries that represents all the big car brands, so you must know these arguments pretty well. We've just heard what Peter Bradley had to say. Car manufacturers spend an enormous amount of money developing these cars. Why should they allow any old mechanic to muck things up?
Well, look, I think the fundamental issue that is at the core of this point is that the consumer, when they buy a new car, is entitled to have choice in where they get that car serviced or repaired, and they are entitled to get value for money when they go through that process. So I think that's the core issue. I don't think it comes down to an issue of seeking to damage or stymie the motor vehicle dealerships, the franchised dealerships or the brands, in relation to the intellectual property that they might have or the very significant investment, that, as Peter Bradley said, that franchise dealers undertake in their businesses to ensure that their staff are properly trained and that they have the right equipment for the particular brand that they are marketing and selling. There's no question about those particular perspectives. The issue is, when you buy a new car, are you entitled to choose where you get that car serviced or repaired, and do you have the right to ensure that there is that you do get value for money when you go through, make that decision?
Are you saying we're not getting value for money at the moment?
Well, one of the things that is occurring is that as technology develops, cars are becoming more and more complex in their construction and in their design. You have to be able to ensure that all of those systems are properly checked and any faults are diagnosed and then attended to. And that requires the ability to plug the vehicle in, to download the data that's in the vehicle, and to then interpret and diagnose that data. Now, independent service providers and repairers can do that if they have access to the necessary information to undertake that diagnosis.
And that's the nub of the question, isn't it?
That is the nub of the question.
Are independent garages and mechanics being prohibited or prevented from getting that data and access to that information and technology that would enable them to do those repairs? Is there a kind of closed shop here?
Well, I think certainly there is evidence to that effect, and there's a couple of things that I think point us in that direction. And in fact, Peter Bradley pointed to one or two of those things in the comments that he made, whether that was consciously or not. But if we look at the evidence over the past 10 years, what we see is that the average cost of servicing a vehicle has gone up by something like 100%. It's doubled in that period of time.
And isn't that just because the cars are, as you said, much more complex?
Well, that's part of it. But if you look at the price levels more generally, if you look at things like the Consumer Price Index, over the same period, that's gone up by about 30%.
In fact, cars themselves have got cheaper, haven't they?
Well, that's right. Vehicle affordability is at record levels. So to buy a new car these days, you would pay less in real terms than you would have done 10 years ago. But to get it serviced and repaired, you'd pay double. So that's a very significant difference. And then The other bit of evidence that we can look at, and which Peter Bradley referred to, is the different gross margins that we see across dealerships between new and used car sales and then parts and service sales. So the average profit, gross margin, that comes from a new car sale is actually relatively low on the figures that we're looking at, something around 10 or 12%. Whereas the gross margin for parts and service is up around 50 or 60%. So in fact, one of the major areas these days where dealerships make their money is in parts and service business, and hence the very strong incentive that they have and that the franchise brands have to ensure that they are continuing to attract that sort of business from customers.
So is the provision of parts a big part of this? The fact that, you know, an authorised dealer will supply authorised parts from the original manufacturer rather than some generic brand?
Well, that's part of the equation. And of course, the brands will always strongly promote their genuine parts. Quality in parts is an important issue, and you do need to have confidence that the parts that you are getting that are supplied, that they will meet the requirements, they will be fit for purpose that you're going to put them to. So that's important. But the nub of the issue here is really, should independent service providers be able to access the necessary information in order to be able to conduct their business and to provide value for money to consumers when they're servicing or repairing your car? It's not about seeking free access to proprietary intellectual property. I think there's every expectation that if there's intellectual property embodied in the vehicle or in the technologies, that will be protected. This is about being able to, or ensuring, that manufacturers are not putting artificial barriers in the way that will prevent that competition from being present in the marketplace. And that's what we want to insure against. Now, there is evidence that that is already occurring in the marketplace. And as cars continue to rely more and more heavily on information technology, as opposed to purely mechanical technology, then the risk is that we will go further and further in that direction, and we'll see a continuation of the trend which is there at the moment, that decline in affordability. And that's what we want to ensure, that that doesn't get to the point where consumers are being unfairly disadvantaged as a result of what is really an anti-competitive mechanism within the market.
Ripped off in everyday language.
That's correct.
So,
Well said.
What do you want to see come out of this review? I mean, does there have to be some kind of legislation to ensure that information is shared?
Well, there are a number of options, and I think we can look around the world and see some of the solutions that have been contemplated in Europe and in the United States and in Canada. We do think in the Australian context that there is a mechanism that the government, or there are mechanisms that the government can look at under what used to be called the Trade Practices Act, now the Competition and Consumer Act. So either through direct legislation under that act, or through the development of a code of practice, a mandatory code of practice, that will ensure that the necessary information is able to be accessed under fair terms by independent service providers and repairers.
Andrew McKellar, thanks for joining us in the National Interest.
Thank you.